Our film critic Henry Sheehan has a review of the new movie adaptation of John le Carré's The Tailor of Panama. Henry says that director John Boorman has designed the film more as an anti-thriller than a typical spy movie.
John Boorman's adaptation of John le Carré's The Tailor of Panama has all the usual accoutrements of espionage sagas: purloined papers, cynical seductions, an impending invasion. But it does deprive them of their usual importance. Instead, the muted conventions of moral slipperiness, weak character, and too easily justified violence are dragged into the sunlight and exposed with merciless, dry humor. The result is a mixed bag, darkly comic but a bit slack at times. But it does feature a rogue so astonishingly repulsive that he's worth the price of admission all by himself. Andy Osnard is a veteran British agent who has just lost his latest posting for sleeping with an ambassador's wife. Dispatched to the relative backwater that is Panama today, he's determined to do something to arrest his declining fortunes, whether that something is exposing a plot to seize the canal or to steal some loot for himself, preferably both. Osnard is played by Pierce Brosnan, who's most famous, of course, for playing James Bond. But even before he started depicting 007 on screen, Brosnan had managed a modest career out of playing superficially suave and sophisticated types. The model was Cary Grant, but of course both the age and Brosnan's limited talents conspired to keep him from working in Grant's league. Yet that very limitation makes Brosnan perfect for Osnard. His slick charm is so obviously the result of self-invention that it usually has the reverse effect it intended. Yet he wields that charm with such icy determination that his more perceptive targets realize they may be dealing with a psychopath. Osnard's prime target is Harry Pendle, a transplanted London tailor played by Geoffrey Rush. Pendle provides suits to the vainer members of Panama's corrupt ruling class, a position which Osnard assumes makes Harry privy to potentially intriguing gossip. Osnard is able to press Harry into service because he's found out that as part of an insurance scheme, the tailor once torched his uncle's London shop. This is a secret not even known to Harry's beloved wife, Louisa, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. But in what is either a catastrophic slip-up or a magnificent bit of luck, Osnard fails to notice that Harry's years of living behind a false front have turned him into a compulsive fabulist. Before long, Harry is reporting on a Panamanian political underground that exists solely in his imagination. Osnard has begun to suspect it doesn't exist himself until one day Harry brings him a message from the fictitious rebels demanding cash for arms.
I haven't come clean with you, you know. I've been dragging my feet. At Mickey's behest, I might add. He has a huge arms shipment on the way. But he plans to pay for it from another source.
Oh, yeah? What'd that be?
Won't say.
No, he wouldn't, would he? How much?
It's big money, Andy. Harry says to me, your guys pay peanuts. This is out of their league.
Well, this is an interesting development, Harry. Give me a ballpark figure.
Ten. We're talking $10 million, Andy.
$10 million?
Yeah.
$10 million. Yeah.
Osnard spreads like moss through high and low Panama. At the local British embassy, Osnard starts hitting on a sophisticated diplomat played by Catherine McCormick. She sees right through Osnard, even laughing out loud at his advances. Yet he's so incorrigibly shallow that she finds him paradoxically irresistible. But Harry keeps getting shoved in our faces as the poor innocent who's gotten in over his head, a flawed everyman paying double for his life's sole mistake. Trying to placate a double dealer, he becomes a double dealer himself, yet the movie keeps making excuses for him. Even when it comes time for Harry to betray Louisa, who works for the Canal Authority, the movie treats it as a misdemeanor, the very naughty but forgivable lapse of a weak man. The Tailor of Panama has more subplots than most of Boorman's films, as if the filmmaker were filling the time with action until he pondered just what to make of his characters. The movie's sly anticlimax leaves good and evil in the same state of dangerous equilibrium in which they began, as if we were coming to the end of a chapter and not of a completed work.
Henry Sheehan is film critic for the Orange County Register.